Hello, everyone. I'm Tao from East China Normal University. I'm pleased to share our work about Shell Everything database system named Solar. In the following, I will introduce Solar's architecture and transaction management. My partner, Zhou Yue from University of Utah, will cover the other part of the system. In recent years, many new database systems are designed to achieve high-performance transaction processing. The single node in-memory system assumes that the database fits in the memory. Systems such as Silo have proved that in-memory DBMS can achieve very high transaction throughput. But the drawback of such design is the limited scalability. For example, it is not able to scale out its storage capacity to handle a very large database. The next is the Shell Nothing database system. This system scales out via horizontal partition. When both the workload and database are partitionable, they can achieve very nice scalability. However, Shell Nothing system have poor performance in processing distributed transaction because of the expensive distributed commit protocol. The third type is the Shell Everything database system. They use advanced networking to connect many servers. All data are shared among servers. They achieve nice scalability at the cost of expensive network infrastructure. Compared with these systems, Solar has different design considerations. Different from the Shell Nothing one, we want Solar to support general workload, which means that we do not assume the workload or the database can be is partitionable. Different from the single node system, we want Solar to provide scalable data storage so that Solar can scale out when the size of database keeps growing. Lastly, Solar is designed upon commodity hardwares and do not rely on advanced networks. This is different from existing Shell Everything system. Overall, Solar is a high-performance OLTP DBMS without assumption on the workloads or hardwares. Basically, there are three different types of nodes in Solar. The storage layer contains multiple S nodes and a T node. Here, the T node is responsible for transaction management. In processing layer, there are multiple P units, which are used for executing user requests. All S nodes makes up a distributed storage engine. They are responsible for storing a consistent database snapshot with a struct named as SS table. The snapshot could be very large. To support efficient data storage, the SS table is partitioned into multiple tablets and stored by multiple S nodes. New S nodes can be added into the system when the size of SS table grows. It gives Solar the scalable data storage. The T node is actually an in-memory transaction engine. It is responsible for managing newly committed data since the last snapshot is created. These data are managed by a struct called a memtable. Compared with the SS table, the memtable is of much small size. Hence, it is possible to store the entire struct in the memory of the T node. The T node provides Solar with high transaction write performance. Lastly, Solar has a distributed query processing engine, which consists of many P units. They are responsible for receiving SQLs or stored procedure requests from clients, and processing user requests, and do necessary remote data access with other storage nodes. They give Solar the scalable computation power. In essential, Solar storage is a two-layer log strut merge chain. The SS table stored over S nodes is a consistent database snapshot. It is of very large size and is partitioned into tablets. Tablets are also replicated over S nodes to improve system availability. The mem table stored by the T node contains only newly committed data. It is of small size. The T node uses multiversion in memory storage. The mem table is also replicated to back up T nodes to improve system availability. The whole database consists of the mem table and the SS table. In Solar, a P unit will receive a transaction request from a client. It will start a new transaction instance on the T node. During processing, the P unit read a record by accessing both S node and the T node. After the record is fetched from the remote, the P unit will execute the SQL logics and buffer transaction writes in the local. When the transaction tries to commit, the P unit sends the transaction write side to the T node, and the T node will properly validate and save these rights. Finally, make response to the client. Here, as we can see, all transaction rights are firstly written into the T node. When the T node does not have enough memory space, Solar would execute the data compaction operation, which moves all committed data into its nodes and freeing the memory used by T node. The data compaction operation would access both the mem table and SS table in the backend, which could potentially influence ongoing transactions. A major requirement of Solar is that the data compaction operation is required to not block ongoing and future transactions. We'll explain the compaction algorithm in the letter. Solar uses multi-version optimist concurrency control to support snapshot isolation. To achieve that, the T node uses a counter to allocate read-write timestamps for transactions, and each record keeps a row-level latch in its handle for validation. When a transaction starts, it acquires database snapshot by fetching the latest value of the timestamp counter. During processing, the transaction always visits the latest version of a record within its read timestamp. When a transaction commits, it must check that no lost update happens. For each record in the write set, it would try to secure the latch of the record and check whether the record has versions newer than its read timestamp. Solar implements the write-ahead login to ensure system recovery. Before a transaction commits, it will persist redo log entries into T-node's disk. When the T-node goes down and gets restarted, it replaces the redo log entries to recover the mem table. Here, the replay position is determined by the last finished data compaction. It is only required to recover data, so they have not been merged into its nodes. On the other hand, the failure of SNode does not lose data because it uses disk-based storage, and the PUnit does not store any data. In the next, my partner Joyue will explain how to execute data compaction and to optimize remote data access among different nodes. Welcome, Joyue.
Thank you, Tao. So for the next part, I'll talk about the data compaction operations. So when Solar's T-node runs out of memory or reaches a specific point of time that user specifies, like at night when the workload is low, so it starts this data compaction operation. So to do that, first the data compaction operation is initiated, and we create a new mem table M1 to accept new updates of new transactions that starts after this initiation. So before we can freeze the old mem table, we could have several ongoing transactions that has already started or started validation when we start this initiate this data compaction operation. So we have a weight dependency of this getting data compaction timestamp on the previous transactions. So then once those transactions finishes, we can actually start this data compaction operation and starting merge M0 and S0 into a new SS table, S1. And this is done by basically a sort merge. And once that's done, we have this data compaction operation finished, then the old tables are dropped. So let's take a close look at how transaction and concurrency control works during this period of time. So our goal here is to minimize the blocking of ongoing transactions. So though there are like basically two reasons. So this can happen during active workload time, so that you have a lot of ongoing transactions and you do not want to block them, because the system could simply run out of memory and you want to do this and you do not want to block all your key operations. And the second thing to consider is that, so basically it could also happen at the off-peak time, but still you can have some background operations that you don't want to kill. So that's why we want to minimize this blocking of transaction processing during this period of time. So there are three cases. If a transaction that starts before the initiation of this data compaction operation and it starts validating before that, then it basically read and write and validate against the old memtable M0. So as we said before, the getting timestamp for data compaction needs to wait for all the abort or commit of these transactions. So the second case is that a transaction could have start after the initiation of the data compaction operation. In this case, it will the M0 will be read-only to them, and it will write its data to M1. But still, because some data can get updated into M0, it still needs to validate against both M0 and M1. And also, there's a wait for this transaction. There's a wait for relationship between TY and get TDC, the timestamp of data compaction, because we do not want those new updates to affect the correctness of the algorithm. But notice these waits are actually typically very short, because like in a typical OLTP database, updates are in short transactions, which only contains like several operators or tens of operators, and they can finish like in like milliseconds. So, and also, so basically this wait time is very bounded. So this, it will not block the whole transaction processing for a very long time. And the third case is that a transaction actually starts after the start of the data compaction operation. So if that happens, basically, it just writes and reads the new memtable M1 and validates against it. So that's basically so it's after data compaction. So just works normally. So this is the transaction and CC during data compaction. So next, I'll talk about several optimization we devised to optimize the remote data access between the P unit and T node, P unit and S nodes. As you can see in a shared everything data, this shared everything data architecture, basically you are relying on message exchanges network between P units and T node and S node. When you read something, you have to go through a network. So the key here is that we want to reduce such messages so that we can enable more concurrent transactions and enable higher throughput. So the first optimization is that we can build a local SS table cache on the P units. Notice that the SS table are immutable. So basically, you can simply build a cache that caches the hot tuples on the SS table without worrying about any coherence problem. And this, with this, actually, we can avoid a lot of SS table reads, because like in typical database, you have some set of hot tuples that are accessed most and some very cold ones you rarely need them. So in those rare cases, you actually need an SS table fetch. The second optimization is called asynchronous bit array. So this is targeted to what we call empty reads on T-node. Let's see an example here. So suppose we want to read the tuple with ID equal to 1, and our timestamp is actually we want to read the price, but it's never changed. So basically, the T node will return a null here, which is not very useful. So if we can just filter out this beforehand, before we issue the T node read request, then we can save a round trip here. So the way we do that is we keep a bit for each column in each tablet. Notice the tablet is basically a subrange of your whole table. So for each column and in each tablet, we keep a bit that indicates whether any of the rows in that particular region was modified. So say it's like this. Then if we read a quantity here, then and in tablet 1, then we need to go to T-node to check for newer versions. But for others, we do not. We just simply ignore, bypass the T-node read completely. So there are two problems, because this data structure cannot be up to date on all P units. We just asynchronously update that to all the P units from the T node. So that caused two problems. First is that there could be false positive, but that's okay. You just end up with another empty read. That just the algorithm is still correct. Just some performance loss, and that is totally acceptable. But if there's false negative, then you actually, so there is some version that is newer than the current one, but you do not actually check that. Then you end up with the wrong version, right? So with that, we actually need to validate these empty, bypassed empty reads during the validation set, validation phase. So basically, you also send these empty reads reset to the T node during the validation and validate if that's the right decision. If not, then we abort the transaction and send this asynchronous speed array back to P unit so that it won't make the same mistake again. So the key observation here is that typically you have some read-only columns and maybe just hot regions that you update most. Others are basically read-only. So this array actually can converge very fast. So then you basically you have like you have like pre-filter that indicates which region is hot, which region is not. Then if it's not hot, just go with a read-only snapshot. So the third optimization is called transaction compilation. So if you have a stored procedure, you can model this as a direct acyclic graph of the operations. And then you can move the reads to start if they don't have pending dependencies. So with this, you can do two things. First, for the memtable reads, you can group them together so that they only use one round trip. Since these are typically very small reads, so the throughput isn't a worry, it's just the latency, so we want to reduce the round trips here. The second thing we can do is that since the SS table are basically read-only, they are immutable, so you can pre-execute these reads before we get a transaction timestamp. We overlap this with the timestamp request, and when you need that value, it can be already available. Then you can reduce the latency. So in the end, let's see some empirical evaluation of our system. So we should use the 10 server setup, and this is on EmuLab, and it can be configured to use 1 gig network and also 10 gig network. So by default, we only use 1 gig. We use the TBCC benchmark, and we compare our system to MySQL cluster, a traditional database, and VoltDB, a typical shared nothing database that uses horizontal partitioning, and Tile, a distributed database, shared everything database that is designed with RDMA enabled. So, we cannot just simply compare an Ethernet-based database to an RDMA database. That's not fair. So basically, we use the software emulation of RDMA to adapt this Tile system to. And for Tile, actually, we tested two cases. One is over the 1 gig Ethernet, and the other is the 10 gig Ethernet. But we didn't find a lot of difference between these two. So as you can see from the figure on the left, Solar actually shows a much better scalability and higher throughput than all these systems run when they're running, basically running on the same infrastructure. And on the right, we shows if you have even a slight number of distributed transactions, then basically none of the other system will have a high performance. Especially if you can see VoltDB, a shared nothing database, it works perfectly. It has 2x throughput than Solar. When you don't have distributed transactions. But only with like 2% of distributed transactions, it breaks. It basically drops to near zero, the throughput. Next, let's see some micro benchmarks. So basically, we tested what's the impact of data compaction system recovery and remote data access optimization. So our data compaction only have like, in the figure, we only has like a roughly 10% performance loss compared to normal operation. So that verifies that it doesn't block ongoing transactions. And the system recovery actually works really fast, since the T-node only cache a small amount of data, like newly updated versions. So if we kill this, kill the T-node, the whole system will block, but the replaying log will run really fast, and it only takes, like in this case, 10 seconds to recover. If you kill S node, that's okay, because you still have replicas, and building replicas can happen in the background. So the remote data access can achieve a 3x improvement in the throughput compared to the vanilla solar without this optimization. So in summary, we propose a shared everything OLTP database that runs on commodity machines, and it achieves high performance transaction processing and scalable storage. And we propose several novel optimizations to improve the performance, and our empirical evaluation shows that it's great performance and scalability. Thank you.
So great work, I really like it, great talk too. My name is Dalia, I'm from VMware. Two small questions.
Yep.
So you chose to lock the system and wait when transactions cross a compaction period. Another option would have been to abort such transactions. Could you comment on why you chose one over the other?
Yeah, so actually that's both okay. You mean the like this part where we do this wait for relationship,
yeah,
right? Yeah, it's actually okay. In our original design, we just abort the ongoing transaction, but later we find out, wait, we can do without that. Actually, it has little effect on the latency of those transactions, but basically this all happened really fast. So if you can not abort them, then why not? That's basically why.
So I agreed, but what happens if a P node fails?
Yeah. Oh, the P unit, if a P unit fails, basically it just fails silently and that transaction fails, but it doesn't affect anything else.
But the rest of the system is waiting for that transaction.
No, it won't. Like each P unit operates independently. So basically each P node, P unit will fetch every data it needs and perform the transaction locally. Then it send those updates to the T node for validation and commit. That's where.
No, but the compaction will wait for that.
Oh, actually, so compaction only involves doesn't involve P unit. It only here. So actually, since you are merging memtable and SS table into one, right? So memtable is on T node, and SS table are on S nodes. They don't involve P unit actually. So if a P unit fails, that basically it's not relevant to this data compaction operation.
All right, I'll get more clarification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hi, great work. Vadim Longa from FutureWay Technologies. I have a question about the scalability of your SS nodes. So basically, what is the maximum that you support?
Yeah, so here actually we only tested up to 10 nodes in this case, but it's actually a great question. So this, we cannot claim it can scale indefinitely because like you have a single point of contention on T node for transaction processing.
Right, so my kind of aspect of my angle to this is where do you store the information about distribution of your data among the S nodes? Does every P unit have that data?
So there's a manager, like a node manager, that manages this information, and every P unit will get that information locally.
Okay, so what happens and how fast does it happen when, say, an S node disappears or a new S node is added?
Yeah, so if a S node disappears, it can be just rebooted and copy data from other replicas. And this all happens in the background. The P unit doesn't have to know that. Actually, the T node also doesn't have to do anything about that.
Well, the transactions are in progress, right? So where would the P unit get its data in this case?
Right, so each of the data in the SS table gets three replicas. So if one fails, we have the other two to serve that data request.
Okay, still the question is, so the P unit initiated a transaction to a specific S node and that failed. Mm-hmm. How would the P unit kind of realize and...
Yeah, so basically if it fails, then you cannot get data from that particular machine, then you can just go for another replica to fetch that piece of data, right? So since you have three replicas, you basically just fail over to other replicas.
Okay, so we'll take it offline.